You're listening to the IQVIA podcast, where we discuss ways to drive innovation in healthcare.
Good morning to everybody, and welcome to our IQVIA podcast on the NHI. I'm Jana Bartels. I'm a senior consultant at IQVIA, and I've been working in the healthcare industry for around 28 years. So today, we want to really welcome Larise Brinson. She's an expert in law. She got her degree from the University of Pretoria, and she did her doctorate in medical law. After completing her degree, she found that practice wasn't for her, and she transitioned to education. And I think a lot of students are very happy for that. She's currently a senior lecturer in law at the University of the Free State. And we're very interested to hear her point of view, as she is a real expert in medical law. She's therefore the ideal person today to provide us insights and clarity on the NHI and the legal aspects surrounding it. Larise, thank you very much again for joining us. So let's kick off, and I'll ask you, firstly, do you think South African health system needs reform? And if so, why?
Hello, Jan, and thank you for this opportunity. So to start right off with your first question, the South African health system faces very, very many and various differing challenges. And these include inequality. There's a very high disease burden in South Africa. We have human resourcing issues, both when it comes to recruitment as well as the retention of healthcare practitioners. Then funding and financing of the health sector is problematic. The health infrastructure is urgently in need of investments and upgrading or maintenance, and then also the cost of pharmaceuticals and access to essential medications has been problematic and challenging. So yes, the health system is definitely in need of attention, and there has been ongoing debate on how this could or should then take place. Universal access to healthcare and then a system of national health insurance are potential solutions to some of these challenges, but not to all of the challenges. And then also, of course, NHI also brings with it a few challenges of its own. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. I think you're very right in saying that we only see challenges. And I think from a legal perspective and within your expertise, NHI definitely brings a lot of legal changes that everybody's not aware of. And I would love you to explain a little bit in detail how the legal framework will change with implementation of the NHI. What legislative changes can the healthcare industry expect? And where should people really get involved? I think that's the crux of it. People should let their voices be heard, isn't it true?
Yes, of course. So I'm going to answer your question backwards. So where can people get involved? Public participation is extremely important and often overlooked part of any legislative changes or the creation of new legislation or of policy developments in South Africa. That's why in the creation of legislation, there are built-in procedures that mandate and require public participation. Advertisements in the Government Gazette for public participation and commentary. There are various debates, especially now on the National Health Insurance Bill. We're supposed to see at a provincial level, we're supposed to see debates and things where people should go and not just, you know, the obvious stakeholders that you would think, but everyday people need to participate in these debates. But to be able to participate then in these debates, people need to be at least aware of what the various legal challenges could be in the implementation and then the execution of a system of national health insurance. So this then comes back to your question. There are many, many, if we look at this from a purely legal standpoint, many challenges that could be faced. So there will have to be changes, for example, to the already existing regulatory framework for health and health-related aspects in South Africa. Most notably, the Medical Schemes Act will have to be amended. And then also probably we're going to look at amendments to the Income Tax Act, or then, and there are some proposals that NHI could be funded by raising VAT. So this would then mean amendments to other tax acts in South Africa. And this is this kind of potential amendments of legislation applies to almost all health-related acts in South Africa nationally and then provincially. So some provinces have national or provincial hospital acts. These will have to be amended. We also need to then look at our constitutional rights and principles, which will have to be respected and upheld. So constitutional considerations are also going to be very important, legally speaking. A regulatory framework for the National Health Insurance Fund will have to be created. Obviously, if you're going to have a fund that is in control of so much money, there needs to be kind of checks and balances and ways of regulating this. So this whole framework will have to be created. Because national health insurance has to be integrated properly into both the private and the public spheres of health, we're looking at a lot of legal contracts and agreements that will have to be concluded. So that's a legal aspect that needs to be looked at. The way that our healthcare practitioners in South Africa are regulated is something that will have to be reconsidered. We also in South Africa have many, and there's been a rise of medico-legal claims. So we'll have to devise a way, a mechanism of handling these medico-legal claims, which then incurred under a system of national health insurance. And this could also include that we'll have to have dispute resolution mechanisms for this. A very, very controversial and I don't want to say dangerous, but a tricky aspect of this is that national health insurance will collect patient data and information. So we are going to have to seriously look at how data and privacy will be protected. Will PPR be enough? Will we have to have additional regulations to this? And then, of course, intellectual property and pharmaceutical issues could arise, legally speaking. For example, since the national health insurance system will have an impact on reference price indexing and drug costs, so we'll also have to look at that and then at patent protection. So very, very many legal aspects are relevant when we talk about national health insurance.
So it sounds like a mammoth task. So it's easy to say legislation must change, but we know that when these legislative changes that the timeline is always extensive. Mm-hmm. So just in that, what you've now mentioned, I think we're looking at a longer timeline that was anticipated for the implementation of NHI. And I think that's what people forget, you know. It's one word, but there's a lot of pieces that fits together. So thanks for that insight.
It's a pleasure.
So also thinking of the NHI implementation, if you think of what we currently have going forward, there's many challenges for us to implement this, so both in the private as well as the public sector, from a system and a reform perspective. What do you think is going to be the changes that will be made to support the little skills that we currently have, professional skills in South Africa, primary health facilities, which is in dire shortage? And then from our patients' geographical spread in South Africa, we know that our patients can't always access our facilities because they are distributed across the geographical spread of South Africa. So how does the NHI bill address those issues?
So the bill, in theory, is the idea of national health insurance is, in theory, is a good thing. In practice, there are some issues. But the bill hopes to or aims to address these various issues that you've now identified by looking at a few things. So a few ways that it is envisioning meeting the challenges that we've spoken about. When it comes to our healthcare professionals, the bill aims then, or the National Health Insurance aims to invest in the training and the recruitment of skilled professionals to address the HR shortages that we're seeing in the healthcare sector. And this, one of the ways that it's trying to do this will then to provide for better or more fair compensation, especially for persons who practice within the public sector, to try and spread the wealth around. And there's also then a further suggestion to implement a system of task shifting. And this is where you'll have nursing staff or community health practitioners who then might take on some of the responsibilities that you would traditionally see doctors performing. So this could then all try to help with the healthcare profession related issues that we're seeing in the health sector. When it comes to the facilities, so where these people actually have to work, the NHI bill and system proposes to heavily invest into our health infrastructure, which would be fantastic. It also then will attempt to integrate the currently fragmented system to ensure that healthcare facilities operate under a coordinated network. So to try and then standardize what we can expect from healthcare facilities and to bring the facilities that do not meet the standard, to bring them up to standard or to have them meet the requirements. And then the National Health Insurance Bill is also considering or envisioning, like I said before, the use of community health workers at a grassroots level. And this is also something that could then help with the health facilities, but it also then will help with the geographical issues that we're seeing in the healthcare system. So when we're looking at the patients and the geographical spread and the issues that patients are facing, although the primary aim of the National Health Insurance Bill is to mitigate inequality in the health sector, normally or mostly seen in a financial way, as in people that cannot afford better healthcare, one of the issues that it's also looking at is then to try and remove geographical barriers. And I see that one of the things that the bill, or that is part of the debate around the National Health Insurance Bill, is that there will be transport and outreach services, as well as then smaller clinics being built, because the idea is that there will be more funding to be able to build these smaller clinics and health services.
And from my understanding, the procurement of these contracts or facility improvements will all fall under the NHI bill.
Yes.
So that will all be part of the fund's responsibility.
Yes.
It's not like we're having it now that the upkeep of our facilities falls under the Department of Works. And I mean, healthcare facilities isn't their primary objective. They want to build roads.
Yes.
So therefore, we have some dilapidation and the upkeep of our current infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, that will address those problems. So there's something to look forward to.
Yes.
But on the health professionals front, I think there's a lot of debate currently on how the autonomy of healthcare professionals will change. Have you got some insight on that going forward?
Yes, I do. And unfortunately, NHI will have an impact on the autonomy of doctors, especially doctors in the private sector could experience more of a dip in their or reduction in their professional autonomy than those in the public sector at the moment, because National Health Insurance will then try to standardize healthcare services and pricing. So this could then limit the ability of private practitioners to set their own fees and to make then also independent decisions regarding patient care, because there will only be certain services that will be covered by National Health Insurance. So this could then limit treatment options. And as I've said, pricing will also be affected. And the change in payment methods will have an impact on them and their income. And then also practitioners in the private sector may then also face an increase in the demand for their services. So their workload will also most probably be affected by National Health Insurance.
So will they be contracted to the fund and be remunerated by the fund for those services?
The idea is that everyone will be paid by the fund. So you will have in your practice, you will still have your billing, but rather than sending your bills off to individual medical aides, everything will be sent to the fund for remuneration. But there will be capping of certain services as well.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of anxiety around the reform.
Mm-hmm.
But like you mentioned, people should get involved. And I really want to thank you for joining us today on the podcast. And if anybody would like to get involved, you know, the best place or the best resource is the government site, parliamentary site, to go and see when there's public meetings, when you can go and join. And I want to really urge our listeners to go and be part of the debate and the change. Mm-hmm. And thank you again, Larice, for joining us and giving us these wonderful insights.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the IQVIA podcast. Learn more about how we help our customers and partners accelerate innovation in healthcare at IQVIA.com.